Chapter 11, Consequences. Pulse and breathing are good, a voice called out in the ethereal darkness, and Rakhmid felt his wrist being held by a pair of hands. And yet, he's still unconscious. Must have been from the smoke he inhaled. He's lucky the damn house didn't collapse around him. Agreed. He's good for now. Check back in an hour and wet his lips some more. His arm was placed back over his chest and he heard the sound of two pairs of feet receding down the halls. There was a long time in silence, though Rakhmid found that he still could not move, nor could he lift his eyes. "You can open them now," a voice said from off to his right. The hairs on his neck stood up and he felt the goosebumps building. It took him a while to register the voice, and when he did, he felt the pressure over his eyes lessen, and they cracked. Malice was leering down at him, a wide grin stretching its way from ear to ear. "Good morning, Silencer," the lion said as he brought a glass of water to Rakhmid's lips. Rakhmid sipped, his throat was sore, and his lips were cracked. Rakhmid went to speak, but instead grunted and coughed. He couldn't get the words out. "Do not rush yourself to speech, young protector. You've been unconscious for a week." Malice's voice was quiet and soothing, a direct contrast to the first time they spoke. "But I have much to catch you up on. You can just listen for the time." Malice stared at him before continuing. It took Rakhmid a moment to realize that the man was waiting for him to nod. He did so. "Good," the predator said as he sat back and smiled once again. "I do not know how much you remember, but a lot happened that night. You killed Alexei. A good thing you recently purchased the obsidian wheel lock, and you took the word of fire upon yourself," Malice said as he stared out the window beside Rakhmid's bed. "It was a smart move, though I cannot imagine it was an easy decision to make. You're extremely lucky my counterpart arrived when he did," the man said as he inclined with his hand towards the foot of the bed. He'd been looking back and forth between Malice and the foot of the bed as the man spoke. But as Malice pointed, Rakhmid watched as the spot shifted and changed. Patches of darkness broke away from his field of vision and misted away from the center, revealing a figure in its wake. Rakhmid sat back in bed, thrashing, as the Nightwalker stared back at him, its amber eyes tearing through him. "Relax," Malice said as he set a hand on Rakhmid's shoulder, steadying him. "He will not hurt you. He is here to protect you. He is the reason that those who have been tending to you know nothing of the word you have learned." Malice stopped as he lifted the glass of water to Rakhmid's lips again. Rakhmid settled back in bed and sipped, not taking his eyes off the Nightwalker. "Bishop managed to get to you before the Silencers and crafted an illusion to ensure that no one would see that you now held spoken writing. He has been maintaining that same illusion while you have been in recovery." The tension slowly left his shoulders and Malice removed his hand.
"Master, someone is coming,"
Bishop said in a hushed tone. Rakhmid could feel the reverb from the monster's voice in his skull. "Say nothing of this. We will be here and I will continue when they have left," Malice said as he stood, leveling a finger at Rakhmid. Shadows coalesced around the Nightwalker and began to engulf him, a second cloud forming around Malice and swallowing him. The finger was the last to linger before the two of them vanished behind the illusion.
"Rakhmid!"
he heard Caden shout from around the corner before his blue-eyed friend came rushing in.
"Kay!"
He stopped as he coughed, grabbing the glass of water furiously and drinking half of it.
"Caden!"
he said in a hushed tone, feeling for the first time just how much his throat hurt.
"What are you doing here?"
Caden laughed as he approached, eyeballing his friend strangely. "You killed Alexei solo, nearly died in the process, and you want to know what I'm doing here?" Hearing it said back to him, it did sound quite inane. "They would not let me visit you until today. I tried to every day, but they kept sending me away. They said you'd become stable enough, but that you were still out. Should I tell them you're awake?" his friend asked as he looked over his shoulder and towards the door. His friend seemed frantic.
"No,"
he croaked as he raised his hand and forced his friend's attention back to him.
It is fine, brother. They will be back soon enough. I am up now. That has to be a good sign, no?
He managed to smile as best he could. He cringed as his lips cracked. Caden turned back to him, nodding.
It is good to see you alive and well, brother. You gave us all a scare. You've been the talk of the high table,
Caden said as he sat down next to him on the bed, setting a hand on his shoulder.
They are not the only ones who took notice to your actions.
Raising an eyebrow, Rekmeet sat up and looked at him.
What are you saying?
Caden's eyes grew wide and his smile shone.
Thorin heard. My captain heard. Hell, the whole kingdom heard, Rekmeet. The Silent brought your name before Maxtrot, and he agrees. They want to promote you, brother. You're going to be a hunter.
His friend slapped his shoulder in excitement. Rekmeet winced.
Sorry,
he managed, retreating into himself slightly. Rekmeet shook his head.
It's okay,
he chuckled, regretting it immediately.
Such news is worth a little bruising. When?
Surely they'll change their minds when they realize what I've done. The hell was I thinking? I'm not in a burning house anymore. Now I've got to live with my decision. He tried to push the thoughts aside.
There's a burning tonight. If you are well enough to attend, they want to promote you there.
Rekmeet nodded and sat up further.
Then I guess I need to get to work on walking, he laughed. I'll see you after the ceremony, brother.
Caden grasped him in a hug and departed.
Get on with it. Show yourselves, Rekmeet said, his weariness chipping away at his diplomacy.
This time, the smoke did not slowly build, but instead the illusion faded as quickly as he blinked. He sat back quickly, flinching in response to the invasion of reality.
I understand your predicament, Malus said as he sat down next to him once again. But when we speak, you will show me the same respect I have shown you.
Otherwise, he said as he turned his hand towards the Nightwalker. Rekmeet sighed and nodded his head.
Understood.
Good, the Collector said, the long-stretched grin returning to its unnatural place. Bishop will be there at your promotion to ensure that you are not compromised there either. To keep you as safe as possible, he will be trailing you from here until then, but you will not see him. Try to forget he is there. Rekmeet swallowed.
Right. Easy enough.
You did what you had to do, for whatever reasons you had, Malus said as he stood and walked back to the window, once again staring out at the hillside that faced them. But now you have to deal with the reality. You can be honest with your command about what happened. If you are lucky enough to be an Inksayer, you'll be stripped of your hands and chained in the prison you've spent so much of your career guarding. And if not, well, you'll be handled like any other branded. Your kind has no understanding when it comes to an infraction like this. As he paused, he gestured with his hand as if to bring the stem of his pipe to his mouth. Rekmeet was caught off guard for a moment. It was as if the man had forgotten he did not carry it with him. Malus turned back to him.
You have a choice, Rekmeet. Face the silencers, or accept my help.
Bishop has managed to conceal your deceit this last week and will do so tonight, but is it impossible for him to always be there? After the promotion, you will come to my estate, and I will equip you with what is necessary to keep you protected.
I didn't choose to live just to throw it all away the moment I woke up. What do you want?
Rekmeet asked as his eyes narrowed at the man. The Predator turned his head to him quickly, his eyes shining violently. If the man had any less control, Rekmeet bet he would lick his teeth. Bishop snickered. Malus walked up very close and looked down at him, his eyes skinning over the man that lay before him.
You will swear your loyalty to me, and I will teach you how to survive.
Rekmeet nodded. Malus leered at him, his eyes narrowing.
Say it. I swear myself to you.
The man smiled. He watched as the Nightwalker was swallowed in shadows, and a similar cloud started to build around Malus, surrounding him. The man turned away from him and started to step in the blackness when Rakhmeed reached out, grabbing his shoulder and stopping him.
Yes?
The man asked as he turned around, looking back at him. Rakhmeed sat up in bed.
After I took on the word, I saw things. Flashes of images. Scenes depicting me doing different things with the word. As they passed, I understood what I could do with the word. I felt it.
As Rakhmeed spoke, he began to shake. He was unnerved by the whole endeavor. Malice nodded, dismissively. It happens anytime someone places a word upon themselves. He turned back to the shadows and began to enter again.
I've never experienced anything like it. Awake, at least. Only when I am dreaming.
Malice stopped and spun around completely. He stared at Rakhmeed, one eyebrow raised, look of surprise present on his face. After the burning, we will talk about this as well. Mention it to no one. Rakhmeed nodded, and with that, the Collector walked fully into the shadows and vanished. He knew that the Nightwalker would still be hanging around him, but could tell that the man who he had sworn himself to had departed. He was curious as to why the man had told him to mention the images to no one. Of course, he wouldn't be speaking to anyone about any of what had truly happened that night, but Malice seemed particularly concerned about the images.
You're awake,
the medic exclaimed as he came walking into the room. Rakhmeed decided to put the thoughts off until later, and they would be addressed when he spoke to Malice anyways. Rakhmeed nodded.
I've even started to get my voice back, Rakhmeed managed.
Good, the medic said as he smiled. I just received word about the burning tonight. The Silent were adamant that you'd be released tonight if I could agree that you were ready. How do you feel? Rakhmeed could hear the compassion in the man's voice. It warmed him, though he wondered what the man would think if he knew what had really happened.
I cannot thank you enough for taking care of me this week, but I feel well enough to leave.
The night was black. The only light that shone, the lanterns that led up to the fire in the great yard and the massive fire itself. The flames must have reached up almost 20 feet. Most of the silencers and recruits of Varn City were gathered there, forming a crowd. They were all standing around the great fire, blazing brilliantly. On the other side of the fire were six hooded figures, the highest ranks of the Silent, standing on a stage. It was said that these men had cut out their own tongues in order to keep the silence. Rakhmeed found them suspicious at times, but would never voice it. One never knew when their ranks were listening, and had a nasty habit of appearing unnoticed.
Rakhmeed!
He turned towards Anthony. When the recruit made it to him, the young man produced a jar with the fire Lakesy's heart at its center.
I thought you should be able to offer the Lakesy's heart tonight. Thank you,
he said with a smile as he grabbed the jar from the recruit. A silence washed over the grounds, and Rakhmeed felt the tension as a man stepped out onto the stage. The man was older, with a bit of gray in his hair. It was clean and precisely cut. Even with the aging hair, he exhumed youth. Rakhmeed recognized him instantly as Maxtrot Meinhort, their king.
Silencers, the king began. Tonight's burning is very special, for we have a promotion. Rakhmeed Lytrotis.
As his name was spoken, the men before him shifted, creating an aisle leading up to the stage for him to walk through. Carrying the jar in his hand, Rakhmeed walked up to the stage, careful not to get too close to the fire, and made his way up the stairs. As he passed by the members of the Silent, he felt his breathing tense and his pulse race. He could feel the skin around the Word of Fire bunch and felt its tendrils pulse. All he could hope was that the Nightwalker was truly out there, weaving an illusion.
Hoping for the Nightwalker to be near. Dear the Divine, what have I done?
Your offering? Maxtrot said as he pointed to the fire burning in front of the stage.
The heart cut from the fire Lakesy I killed a week ago, Rakhmeed said as he held the jar up. An admirable offering,
The king responded before nodding to him. Rekmeet undid the lid and held the jar over the fire. Had it been a word he was offering like it normally was, he would have been careful not to let the word near his skin. He had learned from stories of the first burning during the dark days, men whose hands had gotten too close to the tendrils of words. They lost a handful of good silencers that day. As he held the jar over the fire, he looked to the sea of silencers. His eyes stopped scanning the crowd as he caught sight of something amber. Two eyes hung in the air, staring back at him. The pit in his stomach told him he was the only one who could see them. The Nightwalker's hooded face surfaced around the eyes, and the creature nodded his head. In an instant, the visage was gone. "Step forward," Maxtrot said as Rekmeet brought the jar back and closed the lid. One of the Silent took the jar from him and returned to their place. Rekmeet walked up to the king and bowed his head. "Rekmeet, today you become a true silencer. No longer will you guard the prison, but instead you will hunt for spoken writing throughout the streets of our kingdom. You will keep our people safe by putting an end to those who break our laws and hunting the Vaxes that manage to make it over the wall. No longer will you wear the simple S-pin, but instead, this," Maxtrot said as he pulled out a second pin with a circle surrounding the S. The king nodded and Rekmeet removed the pin he wore currently, and the king replaced it with the new one. The king brought a hand to his chest and Rekmeet responded, ringing the circle of the pin with his thumb, returning the salute. Maxtrot extended a hand, and Rekmeet took it in his. "Good luck, Rekmeet Lytrotis." He nodded and departed. As he entered the prison, he felt the itch of the word that clung to his chest yet again. While walking past the cells, he thought of how it would feel to be trapped within them, and the hypocrite everyone would see him as. "I cannot do anything now to change or fix it," he told himself, choosing to let go of that train of thought. He headed up the stairs and into the living quarters of the Order's guard. Anthony and the other recruits had followed in behind him, excitedly. Walking towards the far wall, he came across the silencer's S-pins. All of the men who had come and gone through the prison put their pins on the wall upon their promotion. Every pin had a signature beneath it. He placed the S-pin he had worn for so long on the wall and signed his name. "Congrats, Rekmeet," Anthony said, and the others cheered. It felt amazing to finally be done with the prison. Looking around at all the recruits and guards gathered around him, he realized he was going to miss it. But he was finally able to move on and become a true silencer. The irony of how poorly timed his promotion was hit him at the same time that the tendrils moved again. "Congratulations indeed," Caden said, pulling him from his thoughts. Rekmeet hadn't even noticed his friend enter the room, but there was much he would not notice in his current state. "Let's go get a drink to celebrate your promotion and recovery," Caden announced as he slapped his friend on the shoulder and led him down the stairs. "I could go for a drink." It was true. He'd been vying for alcohol the moment he woke up. Then he remembered Malice. "But only one. The promotion took a lot out of me, and I can't be staying out too late." The man had known far more than he expressed in the medical center, and Rekmeet had a burning curiosity that matched the pain coming from his chest. "All right, fine," Caden said with a laugh. "But you have to at least tell me what it was like to kill Lakesy on your own." I hope you all enjoyed that chapter. Check out next episode for chapter 12, Visiting an Old Friend. And as always, the song I used was Fluid Skate by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0.